Title of the message is Sit Down First and Count the Cost. Sit down first and count the cost. Here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, and let's stand together if you're physically able to. We're going to read the scriptures, read the Word of God. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 25. Pray for some of our people that are traveling, those that are sick. My wife is very sick, and you know it's unusual that she would not be in church, and just I'd ask you to pray for God's grace for her. Here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 14, and we'll begin reading there in verse number 25. The Bible says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." Verse 31, What king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us to understand your word this morning. We ask you to help us to be able to put aside any other distraction. And Spirit of God, we want you to work in our heart and in our spirit today. May our spirit be yielded to you, to listen to you, to hear your word preached and hear your spirit even trying to speak to us. And may we be willing to pay the price of being a good disciple of Jesus Christ. Help me, Father, this morning. Help me, Holy Spirit, to say exactly what you want me to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Here we read of Jesus speaking to some great multitudes of people. Great multitudes. It's funny how sometimes there's great multitudes of people that tend to be following Jesus, and at times there seems to be just a small group of disciples that are following Jesus. And one of the challenges that Jesus made to people here is one of the things that really tends to divide the crowd up. Those that decide, I'm going to cut out and I don't want any more of this, or those that are willing to keep on saying, I will follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though others may not join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. And Jesus, in speaking to these crowds of people, he says, your love for me needs to be greater than your love for anything else. Your love for me needs to be greater than your love even for family. This verse seems like a very harsh verse, and we take it in context with some parallel passages of scriptures. And we understand it. Jesus is not saying to the crowds and even to his own disciples, if you love Jesus, then that means you have to hate your mother. Oh, no, your mama wouldn't like that. Now, Jesus isn't saying, if you love me, you have to hate your father and truly hate your brother. And hate. We're not supposed to hate. Hate is a sin. But when we understand this in relation to some other parallel passages of Scripture, we understand that our love for Christ needs to be greater than our love for anyone or anything else, that no matter what they may think, we would follow Jesus Christ. We would follow our Lord and Savior. Because you know what? There are times, and some of you have known it, and others in our church over the years have known it, that when they've decided to live for Jesus Christ, and they've decided no turning back, no turning back, there have been times when maybe there's been some of their family or some of their relatives that did not know the Lord as Savior, did not love the Word of God like they came to love the Word of God, and didn't know Jesus Christ personally in their life the way they did. Sometimes there's been family that have maybe criticized them for being a Christian, or criticized them for going to a church that wants to follow the Bible, or criticized them for maybe giving up a certain religion to say, I want to be a born-again Christian, and I want to follow Jesus Christ in my life as my personal Savior. We understand that sometimes family doesn't like that. Sometimes there may even be a little hindrance there where they oppose you because you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're going to be disciples of Christ and we're going to follow Him, then our love for Him must be greater than anything else. Though we are to love our family, no doubt, we're to do what would honor and please the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. Are you willing to pay the price of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Something we need to give a lot of thought to. Are you willing? Are you willing to pay the price of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Jesus, in making these challenges to His disciples and saying, if you're not willing to even hate your own life also and follow Me, you cannot be My disciple. He said in verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. Then later again, verse 33, forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be My disciple. Are you willing to pay that price? Then Jesus, in the midst of that, He gives those parables, those little stories to try to help them to understand. And He challenges them to sit down first and count the cost. See the story there in verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? He says, wouldn't it just make common sense? Wouldn't it be wise that if you decide you're going to build a tower, you're going to building, you make sure that you've got your financing arranged. You make sure that you're going to be able to have all the blocks necessary and all the building supplies necessary. Make sure that you're going to have what you need to be able to build that building. Because what a mockery it'll be if you began to build a tower and you just kind of got it built halfway and then you just had to leave it sit. And it sat there and it was just nothing. It doesn't become then something that's glorious and wonderful. It becomes something that really could become a shame. And He challenges them to sit down first and count the cost. Are you willing to pay the price? Or sometimes people will hold back from making a decision to get saved. Sometimes people will hold back from making a decision to get baptized. And they're so slow to that commitment. And sometimes that, it's hard to have patience. We long for you to follow Christ. We long for you to make those good decisions. Long for you to determine, I want to be baptized. I want to follow Jesus in my life. I want to live for Him. But I thank God that when that decision is finally made and people are saying, okay, I've sat down, I've counted the cost. Other people might not quite appreciate it. They might not like it. But I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to be His disciple. He's my Savior and I want to give my life and live my life for Him. We are to sit down first and count the cost. You know, it's a lot easier to be saved than it is to be a good disciple. The gospel of salvation is a glorious thing where Jesus Christ has paid the price for us on the cross of Calvary. He did the hard stuff. He did the hard part. God the Father being willing to let His only begotten Son leave the glories of heaven and come down to a sinful, wicked world. What love and what sacrifice. And then for the Son to be willing to say, not my will, but thine be done, and to be willing to go to Calvary, be willing to die on the cross, be willing to suffer like He did, be willing to die like He did on the cross. The shame that He bore to pay the penalty for our sins. He did not deserve to die. Jesus did not deserve to hang on a cross. There was nothing He did wrong to deserve punishment. He hung on the cross because of my sins. Because of my sins. Because of your sins. What love. He paid a high price so we could be saved. Only a fool, to be honest, would reject that. Reject the gospel. Reject God's message of salvation. Reject God's love. Reject what Christ has done for us. It's fairly easy to say, oh, I want that. I want Christ as my Savior. But then to be willing to live the life that Jesus calls us to live as His disciple, as His follower. To maybe be willing to take up a cross and bear a cross to follow Him. I mean, I may sometimes carry a cross. I may sometimes have to bear a cross. Boy, that's a little bit tougher, isn't it? We must be willing to sit down first and count the cost. And oh, how I wish people would say, I'll pay the price. When I remember how much of a price Jesus Christ has paid for my salvation, how can I not pay a price? How can I not be willing to suffer whatever I may suffer to be a good disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Martin Luther said this, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. Let me tell you something. The religion that I call you to, if you will, which the Bible frankly condemns religion, but the relationship that I want to call people to with the Lord Jesus Christ, to know Him as Savior, and then to say, I want to be His disciple. I want to live for Him. I want to follow Him. Listen, it's a life that will cost us something. We're to give something. Listen, the Bible teaches us in Corinthians, we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. Christ gave everything to purchase us, to redeem us, to save us. Listen, we're to give our lives back to the Lord. We'll have to give something. We'll have to give our life. We'll have to give of our time to serve the Lord. We'll have to give of the resources God has given us to support the Lord's work and so on. Listen, it's a religion that we have to give something. It takes some commitment. It takes some time. Listen, doesn't it take commitment to pray? Doesn't it take commitment to read your Bible? Doesn't it take commitment to go to church? She told me this morning that, Ms. Greco told me this morning, you know, my church, they're not having services this summer on Sunday nights. I don't like that. I'm old fashioned. And I'm stubborn, so I'm not going on Sunday morning either. I'll find another church to go to on Sunday morning. Hey, let me tell you something. We need some old-time commitment where Christians understand, I need to be committed to church. I need to be faithful to church. I need to be committed to giving. I need to be committed to following the Lord. It takes commitment to get up and read our Bible and pray. It takes commitment to walk with the Lord. All those things take commitment in our life. Are you willing to pay the price of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? We need to sit down first and count the cost. Let me share with you a few things quickly. We're going to look mostly at the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 8. John chapter number 8, and just a few verses we'll look at together. A few points this morning about a disciple of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to pay the price of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Sit down first and count the cost. Let me share with you just a few things this morning that might be that cost, if you will. What must a disciple of Jesus Christ be willing to do? Number one, a disciple of Jesus Christ must continue in God's Word. A disciple of Jesus Christ must continue in God's Word. You know, being a Christian is not just about, well, He saved me and now I'm free and I do whatever I want to do. Yeah, no. There's a commitment. I want to continue in God's Word. I will continue in God's Word. What does He teach me? What does God instruct me? What does Jesus want for my life? John chapter 8 and verse 31 says this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. Religious Jews who got saved, accepted Christ, that He's the Messiah, He's the Savior. Here's what Jesus' instructions to them. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you just go back to your Judeo-religion and you just kind of step back into your Judeo-Orthodox religion, and you decide, I'm following that now, instead of following the Scriptures, instead of following the New Testament, instead of following the teaching of Paul and the teaching of Peter, instead of following what Christ desires, you cannot be my disciple. If you're going to be my disciple, it's more than just, I pray a prayer, I receive Christ by faith. No, you must continue in the Word of God. You must decide, this is God's Word to me, this is God's instructions. I want to continue in God's Word. If we're going to continue in God's Word, that means we need to love and study God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We as believers, if we believe, we must continue in His Word. That means study His Word. That means get to know His Word. What does God want from my life? What is God's Word teaching me? What does God want from me truly as a Christian? Listen, if you don't study God's Word, you won't know what God wants for you. You won't know what He wants in your life. You won't know what kind of church you ought to go to. You won't know what kind of life you ought to live each day. You won't know Christ's instructions for your life. You need to continue in His Word. Love and study God's Word. And then not only that, but do what God's Word says. You could love God's Word and read it 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 and read it. And you can quote all these verses. But if we don't do what God's Word says, how silly is that? We need to do what God's Word says. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, the Gospel of John 14 and verse 15. Jesus said this, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Notice what he says there in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. In John chapter 15 and verse 14, chapter 15, verse 14, he says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You say, oh, I want to be His friend. I want to be a good disciple. I love Jesus. Oh, really? He says, then do what I'm commanding you to do. Do what the Master tells you to do. Do what the Savior wants in your life. Listen, we need to continue in God's Word. Continuing God's Word means we better read it, we better study it, we better know what God wants for life, and then we better do it. Do it. Are you willing to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Oh, I'm glad that you're saved. I'm glad that you're on your way to heaven. But let's follow Christ now in the way that He desires. Continue in His Word. Do what His Word says. Do the things that Jesus Christ has commanded you. Learn the Bible. Learn all you can of the Word of God, and then do what God wants you to do in your life. Continue in His Word. A disciple of Jesus Christ, number one, must continue in God's Word. Number two, a disciple of Jesus Christ must learn to love like Jesus loved. A disciple of Jesus Christ must learn to love like Jesus loved. Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse number 34. Again, these are the very words of Jesus Christ. And you're not getting the words of Pastor Johnston or the words of Pope Benedict or the words of, you know, Muhammad. You're getting the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's good words to follow. And here's what he says. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know what? There needs to be some love shown. If we're truly being a disciple of Jesus Christ, He says, you're going to love like I loved. You're going to love other people the way that I love other people. How does God love other people? Well, He's pretty forgiving, isn't He? He forgave us of all of our sins, so that we could have a good relationship with Him. But aren't we prone sometimes in our flesh? We want to hold a grudge. We want to forever be angry and mad at somebody who hurt us. We want to hold a grudge or be bitter in our hearts or be envious towards somebody who wronged us, somebody who hurt us, somebody who mistreated us, somebody who was unkind. Jesus says, no, 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 no. That's more the mark of, you know, the devil and stuff. That's not the mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. If we're a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we're to love like He loved. We're to love one another. We're to forgive one another. We're to be kind to one another. God is very merciful and Jesus is very merciful. And that kind of love and forgiveness and mercy is what we need to show to other people. Are you willing to pay the price? Say, nah, I don't think I want to be a disciple of Christ. I would rather be bitter and angry with everybody I want to be. And I just want to kind of be able to put me first and do whatever I want. And if I want to be angry, I can be angry. Jesus says, no. No, no, no. Christian, Mr. Christian, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to love your brother. You're going to love him. And you're going to love that Christian sister over there. And you're going to love your neighbor. It amazes me sometimes how Christian people can be so angry with their neighbors. Well, my neighbor, he planted a tree and he planted it too close to my part of the line and stuff. And I didn't like that. I didn't want a tree there. Why did he plant a tree in the middle of our yards? I don't like that tree there. Why did he put up that fence? I didn't want a fence there. We get angry and bitter at people. I didn't want that kind of fence. I wanted this kind of fence. And people are angry towards a neighbor. Aren't we supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves? Aren't we supposed to love one another? And God says, Jesus Christ said, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have love one to another. Christ says, you'll love one another. If you're my disciple, we better love one another. Love one another. A disciple of Jesus Christ must continue in what? Continue in God's word, right? Number two, a disciple of Jesus Christ must learn to love like who loved? Like Jesus loved. Number three, quickly, a disciple of Jesus Christ must seek to bear fruit. Must seek to bear fruit, or by that I mean to win lost souls to Jesus Christ. A disciple of Jesus Christ must seek to bear fruit, win souls to Jesus Christ. In John 15, look at the Gospel of John 15, verse number 5. Again, these are the words of Jesus. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He's the vine. And then there's the branches that grow out of the vine. Do you know what grows on branches? Fruit. Fruit. We're supposed to bear fruit. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. In verse 8, John 15, 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Jesus said, if you're my disciple, you ought to be bearing fruit. You're a branch coming out of me. You ought to be bearing fruit in your life. And down in verse number 16, he says this, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. In Proverbs 11:30, the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Do you know where to bear fruit? We're to seek to win the lost to Jesus Christ. Share with them how wonderful the Savior is. Tell them how wonderful it is to have the peace that we have knowing that Jesus is my Savior. All my sins are forgiven. I don't have to worry about, well, I have to go this week and I have to confess to so-and-so and I have to make sure that for this week all my sins are absolved, all my sins are forgiven, and you know, I got to make sure that it's always taken care of. No, I know that all my sins, past, present, and future, I know they're ultimately forgiven. I'm justified in the sight of God because I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Listen, the truths that the Word of God teaches, they are truly liberating. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They do set us free. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. When you get to know the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, it'll truly set you free. Some people are almost in a bondage to a certain religion because they're held captive because, you know, they've got to have this certain commitment to the religion. They've got to keep coming back to so-and-so to get their sins forgiven. They've got to make sure that they're keeping these certain sacraments or traditions or religious rituals. Listen, the Bible condemns all that stuff and says man's traditions and rituals, they can be so vain and empty. But the peace and joy that a person can have from knowing the truth and knowing Jesus Christ is wonderful. It's wonderful. Disciple of Jesus Christ must seek to bear fruit, win souls to Jesus Christ. Quickly, number four, a disciple of Jesus Christ ought to do what the Savior needs them to do. A disciple of Jesus Christ ought to do what the Savior needs them to do. Turn back to the Gospel of Luke. Go back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 19. Every one of you is here this morning because God loves you and God wanted you to be here this morning. You may be here this morning because there's a friend that loves you and wanted you to be here, and maybe they invited you. Maybe they care about your soul. Maybe there's things in the message and things from the Word of God that they want you to hear, that they want you to know, because they care so deeply about your soul. I hope you'll not resent it, but you'll embrace it in your life. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 28. Luke chapter 19 and verse 28. Look at this story with me. I said, number four, a disciple of Jesus Christ ought to do what the Savior needs them to do. Beginning in Luke 19 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. He sent two of his disciples, saying, 'Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him, loose the colt, thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him.' And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, 'Why loose ye the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord hath need of him.' And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon." Jesus asked these disciples, I need you to do something for me. There's something I want you to do for me." And these disciples quickly went to do what Jesus needed them to do. Oh, what if somebody says, oh, why are you doing that? Oh, it's because the Lord hath need of it. Lord hath need of it. We ought to always be seeking to please him. We ought to always be seeking, how can I please the Lord? Lord, what do you need me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what can I do for you? Let's seek to please the Lord. Let's seek to meet his needs. Do you know that there are things that the Lord needs us to do or wants us to do? They go, God can do anything. Yes, he can. But there are things that God wants us to do while we're on this earth. There are jobs that God might bid you to do. There are ways that you can serve the Lord. Let's do what he needs us to do. Let's do what pleases him. I said this. Can you review with me? Can you help me? Number one, a disciple of Jesus Christ must continue in God's Word. Continue in the Word of God. Number two, a disciple of Jesus Christ must learn to love like Jesus loved. Number three, a disciple of Jesus Christ must seek to bear fruit. Number four, a disciple of Jesus Christ ought to do what the Savior needs them to do. Do what the Savior needs us to do. Number five, a disciple of Jesus Christ ought to be a joyful person, and enthusiastic and vocal in their praise of God. Again, stay there in Luke 19. Luke 19. And look on just a little bit further there. Let's continue reading the same passage. Go to verse 36. Luke 19 and verse 36. It says, "And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. If you understand that last verse, what Jesus said to them, why are you trying to get them to be quiet? Why are you trying to get them to stop praising me and praising the Lord? If they should be quiet, he says, well, even God can make so that the stones would cry out, that the rocks would cry out and praise the Lord. He said, oh, don't you try to hinder them. Don't you try to stop them. Don't you try to make them be quiet. Hey, if they're loud, want to be loud when they sing, let them be loud. If they want to be vocal in their praise of the Lord, let them be vocal. He said, we want to hear them. The Lord said, we like to hear their praise. We like it when they're excited and enthusiastic and joyful, excited about the Lord. That's why I love it in church when a person will come and they don't sit there just kind of, and they come and they sing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord, to God be the glory, great things, and they even smile when they do it. Great things he hath done, so loved he the world that he gave us his son. Hey, I love it when people are vocal and people are enthusiastic and people say an amen. And listen, don't ever... Oh, gosh. Oh, why are they singing so loud? I hate to be bothered at church. Oh, I love it when people could get a little bothered. Hey, because we ought to be enthusiastic. God wants it. God likes it when people are enthusiastic, when people are vocal, when people can raise their voice and they enjoy praising and they enjoy singing out for the Lord. And, well, let's never frown on that. Let's do it. Jesus said, oh, I like it. I like it. Don't try to get them to be quiet. I like it when they're vocal. I like it when they're praising me. I like it when they're giving the glory to the Lord. A disciple of Jesus Christ ought to be joyful. Not always be. I get to come to church. I had to come to church again today. I get to go to church today. I get to praise God. I get to hear the word of God preached by some loud guy who might spit on me if I sit in the front row. What a blessing. What a joy. Hey, a disciple of Jesus Christ ought to be a joyful person. That's not my personality. Well, get some personality to have a little joyfulness. Jesus wants your vocalness. He wants your praise. He wants you to be a one-man vocal band to sing unto the Lord. And you praise Him. Praise Him. Last thing is this. A disciple of Jesus Christ must make Christ number one in their life. Do you know that Jesus, He doesn't want to be number two? He doesn't want to be number three. He doesn't want to be number four. He wants to be number one in your life. He wants to be the most important person in your life. The most important. More important than anyone else. More important than your spouse. More important than your boss at work. More important than your pastor. More important than your children. That's a hard one sometimes for people to accept. More important than anything, anyone. And don't think that's quite so bad. Because when you learn the Bible, if you're putting Christ number one, and you're loving Christ like you should, let me tell you something. You'll love your family. You'll love other people like you should. It'll make everything else good and better. Christ wants to be number one. Back in the text verse that we read this morning, remember he said, loving him even more than family? He's more important than anything. More important than anyone. In Luke 14, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Well, that's another thing. His own life. How many times is the number one in our life? It's me. It's our own life. My teacher, when I was in kindergarten and stuff, she used to sometimes probably teaching in class or whatever. She'd say, for so many people, the three most important people in their life are me, myself, and I. Listen, Christ wants to be number one in your life. Number one. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Will you make Christ number one in your life? Will you be willing to do to bear that cross? Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Sometimes there may be a cross for you to bear, a cross for you to carry. There may be some burden that you deal with, some burden you carry in life, some cross you carry in life that in following Christ, it means that there may be others that forsake me. It may mean that there's some old friends that they're not really interested in being my friend anymore. It may mean that, you know what, I'm just in a certain situation and God knows where I'm at and God knows my work situation and you know what, I know who's over me is my boss. They know I'm a Christian. They don't like it. I may never get that job promotion. I may never get certain things that I desire because they know me and they know my stand as a Christian and they know the times I've tried to witness to them. And you know, there may be some crosses that you bear. It could be many things. But are you willing to bear that cross? One minister, one pastor told the story of getting a guided tour of another minister's beautiful new church building. With great pride, the minister pointed to the rich imported pews or rows of pews and so on, and the luxurious decorations in the building. It was just a beautiful, beautiful building. And as they stepped outside, darkness was falling and a spotlight shone on a huge cross on a steeple on top of the building. And the minister very proudly said, just that cross alone on the very top of the steeple cost us $15,000. The other pastors thought about it and said, you got cheated. There were times when Christians could get a cross for free. Times when a Christian could get a cross for nothing. Do you know some faithful Christians in history have even died as martyrs for their faith? They've hung on a cross. They've been tied to a stake, tied to a tree, if you would, a piece of wood, tied to that and then been burned in the fire. They've had burning hot oil or tar just poured all over them to kill them and make them die a painful death. And maybe it's because of their faith. Because they would not renounce Christ. They would not give up their Bible. They would not deny the Lord. I wonder if I'd be willing to do that. Would I really be willing to do that if I was faced with it? Would you? Would you? Are you and I willing to truly make Jesus Christ number one in our lives? To be a good disciple of Jesus Christ, there may be a cross for you to bear, a cross for you to carry. Disciple of Jesus Christ must continue in God's word. You're going to have to love this book and decide, I want to obey it. I want to follow it. I want to do what God wants. Disciple of Jesus Christ must learn to love like Jesus loved. You can't hold on to hatred and anger and bitterness. You need to love like Jesus loved. Be willing to forgive like Jesus forgave. Disciple of Christ must seek to bear fruit or win lost souls to Christ. Disciple of Christ ought to do what the Savior needs him to do. Disciple of Christ ought to be a joyful person and enthusiastic and vocal in their praise of God. And lastly, a disciple of Jesus Christ ought to make Christ number one in their life. Sit down first and count the cost. Are you willing to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to say, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. I hope you're willing to. I want to. I want to. I want to make that commitment. I want to follow Christ the rest of my life. I don't want to turn back at age 40. I'm going to be 40 in a couple years or a year and a half or something. I don't want to get to 40 and say, I'm turning back now. 40 years, that's been enough for me. I've been a Christian for a long time and nah, I'm turning back now. I don't want to get to 50 and turn back. I don't want to get to 60 and turn back. I want to stay with it. I want to stay with Christ and follow Christ and meet His needs and continue in His Word. By God's grace, with His help, you can. You can. I hope you'll make that same decision, that same commitment. Lord, as I count the cost, I'm willing. I'm committed. I want to follow you. Hey, and if you have difficulty determining, I'm not sure if I'm quite willing to pay that cost, pay that price. Let's remember the cost that Christ paid. Remember what Jesus paid to save you. Sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. All of us were dirty. I say this sometimes when I'm praying. We're dirty, rotten, scumbag sinners. I say that about myself sometimes. But you're maybe not as bad as me, but I'm a dirty, rotten, scumbag sinner saved by the grace of God. How can we not say, I'll follow Him? Whatever the cost, I want to be His disciple. That could be something that divides the crowd. You might say, Pastor Johnson, that is not for me. I'm never coming back. That's going to be your decision. You know what? In the multitudes of crowds of people, there were some that made that decision. No, I'm not quite willing to go that far, Jesus. I don't want to make that commitment. But I hope that you will. Let's pray together, dear Heavenly Father. I ask you to help us this morning to be willing to be your disciples. May we be committed in our hearts and lives to faithfully following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.